John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at a feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now it is time for the judgment on this world. Now the priests of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Musa, for that reading. And we're just going to focus on two verses of that reading in this final of five sermons on light in John's Gospel, verse 35 and verse 36. Let me read to you verse 36 again. "Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do indeed pray that you would help us to believe in the light while we have the light. And we pray that we might increasingly be seen to be children of light who live out our faith in very practical ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase, use it or lose it. It's a simple concept. If you don't make use of what you have, your memory, your muscles, your parking space, then you lose it. Now, I'm a little bit of a hoarder, Emma will agree with. And when my moved house last year, there was still quite a bit of essential paperwork, or that's how I'd put it, more like useless junk, that I had to sort through that had been tucked away in cupboards for years. And amongst this paperwork was a birthday voucher from my sister many years before. And I thought, aha, a nice Habitat voucher. I can get a nice or a set of cushions. But sadly, it was too late. The gift voucher had expired about 15 years ago. Tragic. Use it. Now, chapter 12 is the last chapter in which John uses the word light in his gospel. We've seen many references over the last, and here there's a real sense of urgency. Use it or lose it. The sun won't shine forever. Day will turn to darkness. And Jesus is calling upon his hearers, the Jewish crowds, to turn to him while there is time. And I think this is quite an appropriate place for us to close the service, because after 5 weeks of looking at Jesus being the light of the world, what are we going to do about it? So I've got two verbs for our 2 points today, and they're very simple. One is in verse 36, believe, and the other one is in verse 35, walk. Now we're going to do some more top technology here to see if we can get this on the screen. So, look, this is my desk. This is me. Hello. Hi, everyone. This is my Bible. There's the bread of life, and here's the grapes that we had earlier. Two things from John chapter 12. Johnny was saying how good my handwriting is. I hope that is true. Believe and walk. And we're actually going to sing a song in between these two. Believe, that's focused particularly for those of us who are still thinking through the Christian faith, and walk, that's for all of us who are followers of Jesus. So let's start with believe, and just have a look again at verse 35. Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Now, Matthew, Mark and Luke all devote about a third of their book to Jesus's passion, the week of his death and resurrection. But John actually focuses half of his book from around chapter 12 to the end. And it seems that the arrival of some Greeks in verse 20, some non-Jews that were flocking to the light, coming to Jesus, was a kind of trigger for what he says in verse 23 is the hour has come. That's the key moment in John's gospel that Jesus has been building to. And in verse 24, he says he's going to die. Verse 24, if you've got a Bible in front of you, John 12, 24. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. And that principle of dying to bring life is true for Jesus, and it's true for us. But a question comes up in verse 34, and the crowd says, we've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Do you see that the Jewish people understand that Jesus is talking about his death? And they just can't compute. A great hero Messiah shouldn't die. And in classic Jesus style, you can never fit him into a box. He doesn't reply, or certainly not in the terms that they ask him. Who is this Son of Man? Jesus told them, verse 35, he changes the categories to light, hence why we're looking at this morning. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Jesus is saying the sun isn't going to shine forever. The day will turn to darkness. And he's, of course, speaking of his death. The day will come when Jesus will die. And for the Jewish people, it will then be too late. Time is running out. He says, you better act fast while you have the light. Walk in the light. Now, that's not to say that people didn't become Christians after Jesus rose from the dead. But he's saying there's a sense of urgency coming, because you're only going to have this light, this shining brightness of rescue and revelation for a short while. Actually, the coming of the Holy Spirit after Jesus's death and resurrection showed that people did turn to Jesus, that the light shone. But for John's Jewish hearers, if they didn't respond now, it would be too late. If they didn't use the light now, they would lose the light. And there's a sense of urgency for us too. We live after the cross of Jesus, not before it. But this sense of urgency still lives on. Use the light or lose the light. Occasionally, when I've been involved in a Christianity Explored course or Discovering Christianity course, like we had with Take a Look just recently, I meet someone who says, I've got plenty of time left in my life. I'll become a Christian when I'm older. And what they mean that is, well, I suppose I believe that Christianity is true, but I'm going to leave it until later on in my life. I don't want it to spoil my fun right now. And tragically, they think that Jesus will bring grey and boredom and shadows into their life, whereas actually he'll bring brilliant light. But the trouble with the plenty of time argument is that you might not have plenty of time. You might get hit by or a bus tomorrow. Or your last days may be spent in an old folks home when you've lost all your marbles and you can't process Christianity. If we get used to saying no to Jesus now, what's to say that we'll say yes to him later on? Jesus is saying, believe in the light while you have the light, eat or lose it. Every time we read the Bible, there's a sense of urgency, isn't there? Are we going to be hearers or are we going to be doers? So this is the first point this morning. Believe. Let's write that on our little screen again. Believe. And just need to click on here. Come to, this is where my handwriting is not so good. Come to Christ, the light. Come to Christ, the light. And here's an opportunity for us to respond to Jesus. Opportunity for us to respond to Jesus. If you're not a Christian today, if you've been leaving Jesus on the outside of your life, if you think about it and you realize that you've lived all your lives without all of your life without ever actually asking Jesus to be the king, well, use the light while you have the light. Turn to him. Turn to him now. Turn to him and trust him as your rescuer. Jesus acts out a little parable in these verses at the end of verse 36. When he'd finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them, as if to show this kind of demonstration of the urgency that there is. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pause. We're going to listen to a song, and then we're going to have a moment of quiet for us to pray silently. This is not going to be great on YouTube, I'm afraid, if you're watching this after the event. We're going to have a moment of silence after the song where we, each of us, can switch off our screens and just pray silently to the Lord Jesus to believe in him. We're going to come to him. If you've never done this, to believe in the light while you have the light. Do you see that Jesus is the most wonderful and brilliant light as we've been seeing over these recent weeks? Come to him. Put your trust in him. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, well, use this time to talk to Jesus about how you need to trust him with different areas of your life right now. Where is it that you need to rely on him? Tell Jesus afresh that you do believe in him and you need his help. Okay, well, just for the last few minutes, we're just going to look at the other word, walk, the other command in these verses. And I've got the word cross spelt out on my little board here. We're to come to Christ the light, and we're to walk in cross love. For this last little bit of the talk, we're going to get very practical. I've spelt out the word cross to give us five things, very briefly, for us to put into practice for how we can follow Jesus in very practical ways. And if we have a look at our verses, it says, verse 36, believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. You see, there's always a family likeness in God's family, like father, like son, and like father, like sons and daughters. To all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We're children of God, Jesus, of light. Jesus's words here in verse 35 and 36 are referring primarily to coming to the light for the first time, which we've just been talking about. Walk in Bible language is not just the first footstep, It's about living our whole lifestyle for the Lord Jesus. And we've already seen in verse 23 and 24 that we are to follow Jesus in laying down our lives for others. So the way in which we are to live out our life in relationship with Jesus, the way we are to walk, is to follow him in cross-shaped love. I'm just going to write down five words on this board to help us very practically with how we might be able to live out our life of love to others in the coming days. Now, the first one is for C, is call. Call, as in call out to God the Father. As we seek to love our church and to love our neighbours in cross-shaped love in the coming days, I think it begins with prayer. And that's why the prayer meeting on Wednesday is so important. We're in a really difficult time at the moment. We want to serve Jesus, but we're pretty limited in our interactions with people at the moment. So, for example, why not pray about who you can talk with right now and who you can serve? Maybe open up your phone and open up the contacts in your phone and pray that the Lord would show you who you could phone up. That's the first thing. Call on the Lord. I called on the Lord as I walked down our street this day, this week, going a little prayer walk. I think it all starts with prayer. The second one is remember. Remember. And remember the cross. Because Jesus's sacrifice for us is what motivates our sacrifice for others. Most people are feeling pretty tired and perhaps pretty worn out at the moment. And the only way in which we're going to have the energy to serve other people is by looking to what Jesus has done to serve us. Remember the cross, that will motivate our sacrifice of others. If Jesus gave up his life for me, then I can give up my 1 hour to go and do my neighbour's shopping. Then O stands for other people. I just made these up. They aren't in the verses. This is just a way of kind of bringing this series to a conclusion. Call, pray, remember the cross, think of others. Think of others. In this pandemic, we're all turned in on ourselves. We aren't seeing other people except like on a screen. And when you're under pressure, you tend to think of yourself rather than other people. But as I mentioned last week, Christians have a tradition of walking into the plague because they know that they have eternal life. So think of others. S is actually to do something about it. And I better stick with capitals. Serve. What can you do to serve others? Having thought of others, what actually can you do to help them? Is there someone in church that could do with some encouragement? Is there someone that you could invite to church? I heard of a church a church in Australia. I saw a podcast about it last week. That's grown by 12% over the pandemic, simply because members of their church are along to church. We might all feel a little bit over church online, but actually there are great things about it. A shorter walk from the home to the church. And therefore, non-Christians can come and try out church and dip their toes in the water without kind of cross the barrier of coming into church on a Sunday. The distance has never been shorter. So serve. What practically can you do for your neighbours and your friends to serve them? And then you might find the last one slightly amusing, but I think part of the key to cross-shaped living is sleep. Making sure that we get some good sleep. We're all tired at the moment. Chatting to some local pastors from around, reporting that for many people, the daytimes are drifting into night times and the days are drifting into one another. There's no contrast. And I think it's really important to go, here's where my artwork is going to be shown up. Go to bed. Make sure you get a really good sleep so that you've got the contrast of time on and time off. Switch off the news. We know it's all bad news already. Go to bed early with a good book and get some rest, and get some good rest on your days off and your time off, so that you're more efficient and have time for other people too. Ironically, to be active in serving others, you need to have active time off. Don't feel guilty about that. Well, that's the end of that little CROSS call. Remember, others, serve, and sleep. John says in his letter in 1 John, anyone who claims to be a light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. So we're to love one another in practical ways. We're to live out our faith as children of the light. And following Jesus means walking in cross-shaped love. Well, let's pray and let's ask for God's help to do this in the coming weeks. Heavenly Father, we do indeed pray that you would help us to walk in cross-shaped love this week. Ask Heavenly Father that you'd help us to call on you in prayer, that we'd remember the cross so that we're motivated by your sacrifice and so that we're not doing things in our own strength, that we think of other people and that we'd serve them in very practical ways. And we pray, Lord, that you give us good sleep and good rest so that we might live this out and get the contrast in our lives that gives us the energy to be able to serve others. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.